Good evening. Ronald Nathaniel Sykes III is in the house. That means his dad is in the house, too. I'd like to welcome you to Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship. This is our normal meeting time, but tonight is a very special service for us. I'm going to get announcements out of the way. There's only one tonight. After the commissioning service, we have a light meal of sandwiches and veggies and stuff in the fellowship hall just behind the platform. Ron and Valerie would appreciate it. Oh, there's also this big, huge cake. I don't know who's going to eat it, but they would appreciate it if you all would stay in fellowship with them and help celebrate what the Lord is doing. The Hebraic year that we are in right now is a year in which coronation is important, a crowning. It's a year in which anticipation comes to fruitfulness and fulfillment, and that's what commissioning is. All of the things that the Lord has been doing in Ron and Valerie and their family over the past 4 years and the past 37 years is preparing them for what he has beyond this evening. And so tonight, this is a time of coronation. This is a time of celebration. This is a time of recognizing what the Lord has deposited in our brother and affirming it on the earth. I love to worship. Amen. And if it were up to me, that's all we would do. And so we're going to start this evening with a time of worship. And we have friends from around the region, Honeyoy and Greece and Gates. Are you in Gates? And I don't know where Matthew went. Oh, Matthew, where are you in the city? All over the place. Who have joined to help us celebrate what the Lord is doing in Ron's life. We believe in prophetic ministry. We are an apostolic and prophetic assembly. So if the Lord should give you something during worship for the body, not for the commissioning, we'll do the commissioning piece in a little bit. But if he should give you a scripture, if he should give you a song, if he should give you a prophetic word or a vision, please see myself or Pastor Casey or Pastor Lisa, and we'll work it into what the Holy Spirit is doing. We believe the Lord wants to speak to all of his sons and daughters tonight. This month that we are in Hebraically is the month of Kislev. It's the month in which the light came into the world. It's the month of which on Christmas Eve this year will begin the Feast of Dedication, also known as Hanukkah. As you worship tonight and prepare to take communion, ask the Lord what it is that you need to give him to dedicate yourself to him in fuller measure. That's what the whole 8 days of Hanukkah is all about, is rededicating ourselves to the Lord so we can move forward in the fullness of what he has for us. So if you want to dance, dance. If you want to flag, flag. Just be respectful of the people that are around you. And I hope you don't mind if the kids get into worship. Because Father loves it when three generations will come together and celebrate his goodness. Let's worship the Lord.
If thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Thank you, Jesus, that you never leave us. We join to worship. We join to worship. Are accessible anytime we choose to praise Him. So much more than a song, much more than a few minutes in a church building. When we choose to allow the gate of our heart to open up and praise, the gates of heaven open wide. Father, you welcome us as sons. You welcome us as daughters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Us as friends. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? Amazing. I'm a friend of God. My friend. belongs to you. All praise belongs. Mindful of us, you hear us when we call. You're on, we are on your mind. God Almighty, put on the garment of praise right now. Oh, because you call us friends. Hallelujah. Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let the oil of gladness flow down from your throne. Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Your joy is my strength alone, my strength alone. Again, put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And let the oil of gladness flow down from your throne. Of praise, but the spirit of heaviness. Your joy is my strength alone, my strength alone. Let these broken, let these broken weary bones rise to dance again. Let this dry and thirsty land with the river. We'll be right back.
Awesome in love, Jesus.
draw me closer to you. Lord, draw me closer to you, that I might hear your heart beat. Lord, draw me closer to you. Make that your prayer tonight. Rededicate your heart to the one who gave his life for yours. He's the one that gives the gifts that we recognize tonight. Ask him to draw you closer. He's faithful. Whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. When the Lord has a local congregation set gifts in the house, it's done in the house. When you are putting in place elders and deacons, it's for the oversight of one expression of his bride, one local expression of the body of Christ. But when the Lord is setting in place fivefold gifts, it's for the entire body of Christ. And so it's a celebration in the body and for the body, because the gifts aren't for one expression of the body, but for wherever the Lord calls those gifts to be used, for equipping his sons and daughters to do the work of the ministry. So tonight we have the privilege of filling these chairs with Ron and Valerie Sykes. Amen. And this is just the first time that they're going to sit. This is the special part. Grandma gets to hold her grandson. This is just the first time that Ron and Valerie are going to sit before a presbytery and receive impartation. It's not the last time. I've already told him there's going to be at least three times. I think he's starting to believe me a little bit. Who is that weird guy who just loves to worship? We recognized gifts in Ron over the course of time. I met Ron earlier this century. I made such an indelible impression on him that he introduced himself to me 2 years ago. And at that time, his gift was helping the body of Christ flow into worship and helping the body of Christ. How many of you need help? If we're honest, our hands are up all the time. And so he sends people into our lives, sometimes as iron to sharpen iron, and sometimes that gets a little bit painful, But if we both submit to it, that sharpening yields both parties as a better sword in the hand of the Lord. So tonight we want to recognize some of the gifts that Ron has, and we're going to recognize one in Valerie tonight. And there's going to come a time when Valerie sits before the presbytery for a fivefold call on her life. But when we talked with Ron and Valerie, they did not think that this was the right time, and which was good because it was a confirmation. Every one of us has had someone that mentored us. Someone that took us under the wing of the Lord with them and helped hone some of the rough edges off. There were a whole bunch of people in my life because I had rough edges all over the place. So the first minister that I'd like to call up to present a gift to Ron is going to present the mantle of a mentor to Ron, and that's Pastor Michael Peace.
Permit me to go back down memory lane for a few moments. When Ronald was 13, almost 14, he came up to me and he felt that the time had come for him to get a job. He said that, he says, Mike, I need to make some money. And so I said, okay, so what are you interested in doing? He says, you know, what kind of job, what kind of work would you like to do? And he says, I don't know, be a pastor, you know? And so I was like, I realized that he was serious. I thought he was, and so I said to myself, this doesn't sound right at 13. And so that was a Saturday afternoon. Monday, I went to the office with James Heath. We were both pastors at the time together. And I said, James, I said, Ron said he needs to get a job and he wants to be a pastor. And James said, a pastor of what? And so, do you remember that moment? I was thinking the same thing. I just wanted to make sure that I was wondering too. I wasn't, or the only one wondering, should I say. But it's not so much that he thought that being a pastor would get him money. It was that he wanted a job and he liked what he saw in pastors. At least, well, John, I guess James, we did a pretty good job for him looking at us, I guess. But James and I both concluded that we have made this look too easy, that a 13-year-old would want to do that. But we realized as time elapsed that that wasn't really the case, that God really had called him. God was really pulling and tugging at his heart for him to be a pastor. And of course, over the years, many of us, and I'm sure many of us in this room as well, have had an opportunity to observe Ronald's life. And he really has become the definition and a personification of what it means to be a pastor. The word pastor in Greek comes from the word poimene. And poimene simply means a shepherd. A person that watches over other people, a shepherd watches over a flock, but over a flock of people for their well-being, their safety, security, growth, and development as well. And Ronald has been an excellent example of what it really means to be a pastor. And over the years, the Lord has used him, of course, and many of, if not all of you know this, that through the anointing and the gift that the Lord has given him to be, what the Lord has given him musically. And I will not ever forget a conversation that I had. And I wish that person could be here, and I mean it in a good way. But I remember a conversation that I had with you, Joanne, Ronald's mother, and you went to a parent-teachers meeting, and the teacher said, as far as him, Ronald, being able to play for church and for God, I guess he's learned everything he could. And I did not show it to you that day, but I was so enraged by that, as if that
was such a substandard thing to play for God and to lead people into the Lord's presence. But of course, that teacher did not understand what we've always understood about God's call, anointing, and appointment of Ronald's life, even now, even back when he was in the School of the Arts. There was so much more than that God wanted to do and was doing. And so I wish that teacher could be here today to see what's happening, or even get a snapshot of the many times over the years how God has used Ronald with his gift, anointing, and skill and talent. But just to say, I'm going to read one portion of scripture in Psalm 145. And this is King James Version, but regardless of your transliteration, it will communicate the same message. It says here, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and will I bless thy name, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." And the Lord has given great manifestation of who he is and his greatness as Ron has allowed himself to be a vessel to be utilized of God to lead people into his presence. And for the Lord to do all the things that he's wanted to do. He's always been a willing servant and a willing a vessel for the Lord. And I've often said that we are conduits for the Lord. And because God can do it, we must become his conduits. And that's what Ronald has been over all the years. And so we place this mantle of being a pastor, of being a shepherd over Ronald, as a confirmation and an affirmation of what God wants to do in his life, as God has brought him to this level and elevation in his life and in his call and anointing, for God to continue to do what it is that he wants to do in Ronald's life and with Val as well. As Apostle said, the focus is Ronald, but it's for the both of them actually. But just the same, this mantle is something that we know that Ronald takes very, very serious. He's always been very serious about the things of God. He's always been serious about the affairs of other people's lives, even when he was a teenager, of course, in his 20s and now in his 30s. And so he's been a pastor in the making for a long time. Sometimes I've wondered if he thought he was my pastor, because he's looked out for my affairs as well. And that has blessed me tremendously. I'm glad my son could be under his charge of leadership at a stage in his life as well. And so, Father, we thank you so much for this ministry couple. We thank you so much for what you're going to do. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in their lives. As you bring them to this level, this elevation in you, this stage of their lives, Lord God, where they are totally open for whatever it is that you desire to do in their lives, that your will be done. Father, they have continued to walk in the purpose that you've given them. They have continued to walk in the destiny that you have given them. And Father, we know that you are going to order the steps of many, many people called a flock, your people, to this ministry, to this couple, to this pastor, that they would say, "I have a good pastor who loves me, walks in the admonition of the Lord, walks in the wisdom of God, walks in the direction and the sovereignty and the lordship of the Most High God." And so, Father, we this day commend to you, we release to you this ministry, these vessels, this pastor, this shepherd to you, Lord, that people will be who they are going to be because you sent them in this path, in the path of this couple, that eternity will record and bear record as to what was done here because of their willingness to do what you want them to do. And so, Father, we say, have your way. We say, Lord, do your work and your will your way, that it will be done according to your plan and your agenda and itinerary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Back in the last winter, Casey and I were invited to Ronald Nathaniel Sykes III's dedication. And Ronald Nathaniel Sykes II was so into being a pastor that for 3 hours of the party, he was pastoring people. People would come to him and he would go outside and pray with them. And it was time for Casey and I to get ready for church. And I said, are we going to dedicate your son? Pastors need some balance. So the Lord gives us teachers. And I asked Ron what he liked to do in his spare time. He said, I like to study the Word of God so I can teach the Word of God. And that's what he did during the night watches out in Kansas City. He taught the Word of God. And so this next gift, the gift of a teacher, we're asking teacher Lisa Fess to come and impart to Ron and Valerie.
I haven't known Ron and Valerie very long, but it was love at first sight for both of them. And I just feel so blessed and honored to have you with us. And there's something about teachers usually know other teachers. And I had always wanted to be a teacher all of my life. And when I got saved and found out a book went with this deal, I was really excited. And then every chapter turned into an outline, and on we went from there. The gift of a teacher comes with a great weight and responsibility. In Matthew 10, it says, a disciple is not greater than his teacher or a slave than his master, but it is sufficient for the disciple to become like his teacher. And so as a teacher, Ron, you can expect people will become like you based on what you teach them. And that's a big responsibility. You know, we love to study words and know the roots of things and do a lot of poking and prying and digging, and that's part of being a teacher. But knowing the Hebrew and the Greek doesn't usually ever change anyone's life. It's a joy to us to do it. But what will change their life is you continue to fall in love with the Word of God and apply it to your heart and work it out in your life so that what you have to offer those who sit under you is not just head knowledge, but the heart and your life. And with that, you won't make them smarter, just smarter, or more proficient, but you will change their lives. And so I challenge you to walk like a teacher that's going to be imitated. It's also my honor to give you this Bible. It is the living Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God. And he is all over this book. From the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation, it's about Jesus, whom we love. And as I give you this, I pray that it will be life-giving to you, that it will be your best and most powerful weapon, that it will be your deepest satisfaction as you feed on it, and that as it becomes life to you, many will receive life as a result.
When Ron was on one of his mission support trips to Rochester a couple years ago, he met with some people and they said, you have to go talk to this guy. And he said, well, who is it? See, Ron has this passion for 24/7 worship and prayer in the region, as do we. And I was the weird guy that he was trying to connect with. One of the people that referred him to me was Apostle Randall Baker, who is the New York State Coordinator of Prayer for the two major prayer networks in North America. So we've asked Randall to come and make a presentation of the mantle of an intercessor for the harvest to Ron.
As I considered the word of the Lord for my brother Ron, the Lord spoke to me of the lightning of God. The lightning of God is one of the terms that Dutch Sheets calls intercession. When you think about where you see lightning in the New American Standard Bible that he's holding so preciously there, when you enter into the throne room of God, among other things, you're going to hear and see lightning and peals of thunder. There is one intercessor that stands between us and God, and his name is Jesus. All the rest of us get to join in that intercession from the earth realm. It says in Psalm 115 that he's given the earth to the sons of man. The heavens are the heavens of God, but the earth he's given to man. So from here, our assignment is to bring heaven down. Psalm 29, where it's talking about the voice of the Lord, it says his voice hews out the flames of fire. That could be translated, God's voice hews out the lightning bolts that he sends. Every time you see Jesus in Revelation, you see the throne room, you see light, you see revelation. So as I mantle Ron tonight for the gift of intercession that he already is, I'd just like to read some verses from Psalm 144. Psalm 144 said, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." This man as an intercessor is a warrior. "My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues the peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him?" That's our gift, is that God thinks of us and we can join him in doing and saying what we hear him and see him doing. In verse 6 it says, or 5 rather, it says, "Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down." Isn't that the cry of every intercessor's heart? It's, "Lord, bend the heavens over and come down. We want to see him here. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter our enemies. Send out your arrows and confuse them." So, as I place this mantle of intercession for the harvest, over this precious couple, the scripture says in Ezekiel that the Lord fills his hands with the lightnings. His hands are surrounded with the lightnings. So, Father, right now, as we lay hands on Ron, may the lightnings of your hands come upon him in a special way, a new way. Lord, it is lightning and light and blazes of fire bring new and fresh revelation. Lord, train his hands to touch yours. Train his hands to see what you're sending the lightnings to do. Lord, use your lightning to scatter his enemies and confuse them, that he may be able to do exploits in your kingdom for the harvest's sake, for the many, 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 not only individuals, but nations that are in the valley of decision in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the gifts that's required of every fivefold minister is that of service. Because Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And that is Ron and Valerie's hearts, is how can we be a vessel through whom the Lord can serve? I am blessed to live with Pastor Casey, who sometimes needs her service to be balanced so that I can get dinner. But over the years, I've watched Casey as an example of service to the body of Christ. And so it's with honor that Casey is going to present the gift of service to Ron and Valerie.
In 1 Peter, oh boy, now I got it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it as serving one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, it is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Pastors are shepherds, and they serve. A Shamar pastor will serve God first, his spouse and his family second, his flock third, his community, his nation, and the world. And you have done that. You serve God. I've watched you serve your family. And I have heard and seen what you have done elsewhere. As Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, we lead by serving as pastors. And you do that. Both of you do that. So what I'm saying is for both of you. Okay, you both lead by serving. The bowl is not perfect, but it's a thing of beauty. As God has made you both a thing of beauty. None of us is perfect, but as he is the author and the finisher of our faith, he draws out that beauty in us like the artisan drew out the grain in that wood. It's unique. There is not another one just like it. And there is not another Ron Sykes II. And there is not another Valerie Sykes. And that is a wonderful thing. Because the gifts, those special gifts, the charisma, which is the spiritual gifts that he has given you, are a special gift mix to you both. You each have your own. And when they are combined, they are a special gift mix that make you a pillar. And like the graining of the wood, your spiritual gifts are perfected by Christ. And they're used for the ministry of those around you for the glory of God. The pitcher holds and then it pours out. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out over you and you both carry it and you pour it out and you pour it out and you pour it out together. And Val, you have poured it out. You are pouring out and you will be pouring out. Again and again and again. And that's a good thing. And God will keep filling you up, both of you. Because as a pastor, you don't stand alone. You stand together. And I'd be willing to bet that any pastor's family in here would be able to say, you all serve together. You do not serve alone. But every member of that family serves in one way or another. So the kids get to start their engines, if they haven't already. But you both serve together, and you stand together, and that is a wonderful thing. And I've watched you both pour out and pour out and pour out. Now, cranberry glass has gold in it, and both of you carry the gold of Christ and the gold of the Holy Spirit in your hearts. And you pour it out. So, we serve God to bring him glory. But as pastors, we serve others to birth and mature in them the vibrant living hope of the resurrection of Christ. That they would be able to walk in the fullness and the wholeness of their salvation. So, Lord, I ask that you would pour out over this couple a greater measure, even an exponential measure of your grace, that they would demonstrate the heart of Christ in their lives, in their ministry, that who you have made them to be would be manifested and it would bring delight and joy first to you, and then to those around them. In the name of Jesus.
I'm not one for tradition or ritual. And because they just received gifts of service, we're going to ask Ron and Valerie to do something as their first act of service. As part of this commissioning service, the greatest prophetic act of all history was done by Jesus. A lot of people get hung up on prophetic acts, but if my hero does them, I should probably try to follow him. On the night before he was betrayed, he shared a meal, a prophetic act, that would be a picture of us in covenant with Father forever. And he said, as often as we do this prophetic act called taking the communion meal, we should do it in remembrance of him. So I'm going to ask Ron and Val to join Casey and I in serving communion to whosoever wants to participate tonight. Remember when we started the service, we said, this is a time of rededicating our hearts to the Lord. So as you take the elements, and in our house we take them and take them together at the end, take the elements and ask the Lord what it is that you can rededicate to him so that he can take you to the next portion of your destiny in Christ. So we're going to bring the elements to the center, and we're going to ask you to come down the center in two rows and go back up the sides, and Ron and Val are going to serve the bread, and Casey and I are going to serve the cup. And there's one more gift after communion. I'm going to ask Casey to explain the bread.
It is challah, which is a traditional Jewish bread often served on the Sabbath. And what we will do tonight is to each break off a little piece. So...
Let us prepare our hearts. My Lord, we thank you, O God, for this day. And Father, we thank you for your body and what your body had gone through on our behalf, O Lord. Lord, we recognize that this is your body that was broken. And Lord, for that we are eternally grateful, O God. And Father, we've already consecrated our lives and set ourselves apart, O Lord, to serve you in light of what you have done, O Lord, and what we've recognized. Lord, we thank you for all things. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. Please take, eat in remembrance of our body of our Lord.
Anyone got some mustard? Would you clear over the cup?
Lord, we thank you that you chose to spill out your blood on our behalf. We thank you for the grace you showed us, that you continue to show us, that you emptied yourself in order that we may spend eternity with you. Thank you for your blood. Please take and drink in remembrance of the blood of our Lord.
It says, Ronald Nathaniel Sykes II, worship pastor, teacher, December 10th, 2016. One of my favorite Hebrew words is this little four-letter word, abad. In English, it's A-B-A-D. It's generally translated in Scripture as work, but it's also translated as worship or worshiper. And everything that you do is an act of worship unto the Lord. Whether it's being a husband or a father, being a pastor or a teacher, being an intercessor, helping a friend in service. It's an act of worship. I had something made for you because 3 years ago I was a part of the commissioning team when my son was set in as a pastor. And the sword I gave him didn't fit you. But the conductor's wand. Because you need to know when to touch one as a pastor, when to touch one as a teacher, when to touch the heart of God in intercession, when to minister the love of Christ to Valerie, and when to minister to the flock. Because when you do everything as a bod, working and worshiping the Lord, and you allow Holy Spirit to weave it together, it will be a melody that brings the new songs we talked about in worship tonight. And those new songs will break the old cycles off of people's lives, and chains will be dropped, and they will be set free, and they will need a teacher. So you need to learn how to conduct and how to release what gift the Holy Spirit wants you to release in the fullness of His time. You can teach people till you're blue in the face, but if all they needed was your ear, the teaching isn't going to help. If all they needed was a kind, helping hand in service. The teaching wouldn't help, nor the counsel. If all they needed was someone to hear and carry their heartbeat to the throne of grace and intercession, then the pastor-teacher gift wouldn't help. So the Lord's made you to be, even as it were, a conductor, to conduct His glory from heaven to the places He desires to disperse it in the earth. Even as it was prayed that the lightning around God's hands would be imparted to you, so the love of God, He wants to flow through the both of you into those that He brings to your path. The priorities are Jesus, one another, your children. And after that, it's playtime. So we present you with these gifts as remembrances of this evening. This evening is a turning point. You've had several tipping points in your life where the Lord has poured in and poured in and poured in, and then He's tipped you and poured out into others. But tonight He's saying, when the laying on of the hands of the elders in the region comes in a few minutes, He's saying, this is a turning point. Greater authority. That's why the oneness of you two needs to be a priority. Because the battles that the enemy is going to throw your way require a threefold cord of you two and Jesus. It can't be Ron, it can't be Valerie. It has to be the three of you agreeing. This is the time, this is the place, this is the ministry. Because when you do, that conducting wand goes from your hand to His and releases the passion of the Father to those to whom you're ministering. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask all of the commissioned fivefold ministers that are here to join us and lay hands on you. But now is the serious part. I love to have fun. You ready, bro? Ron, since we believe that God has called you to be a fivefold ministry of Jesus Christ, and since the body of Christ has recognized this call, and by prayer and laying on of hands, this commissioning council has separated you to the gospel of the kingdom of God. As the apostolic leader of this expression of the bride of Christ, I therefore entreat you to give earnest heed to the word of the living God, which declares, "Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So Ron will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn from his way and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your life. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. But you, Ron, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Ron, be diligent to present yourself, approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Ron, let no one look down on your youthfulness. but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Ron, the Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. You, man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Ron, suffer hardship with me. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Ron, give no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. Ron, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Ron, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Ron, preach the word, not the opinions and traditions of men, not pleasing fables or sensational stories to move the fancy or excite the emotions. You are not to exalt yourself, but in the presence of God, you are to stand before a dying world and preach the word. Let there be no levity, no trifling, no fanciful interpretation. As a minister of God, you are to speak with sincerity and deep earnestness, as a voice from God expounding the Holy Scriptures. You are to bring to your hearers those things which most concern their present and their eternal good. You are to warn them of the soon coming of Christ in power and great glory. Your message must be such as to lead men to see the importance that God attaches to his law. Ron, plainly present the truth so that no transgressor who hears it will be excusable in failing to discern the importance of obedience to God's commands. Ron, be ever conscious of the fact that you are a messenger of God, commissioned by him to do the work of influence that will endure throughout eternity. Your whole aim should be to bring sinners to repentance, pointing them both by precept and example to the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. You should speak as one conscious of power and authority from God that abides in you. Your discourses should have earnestness, fervor, and a power of persuasion that will lead sinners to take refuge in Christ. Ron, do you accept this charge? I'm going to ask all of the fivefold ministers that are here to come up and to gather around Ron. If the Lord gives you a prayer or a prophetic word, just let us know. We want to record them all so that they have a recording of what is spoken over them. Please come up and gather around them. I'm going to have you just slide out.
Father God, we thank you for what you have placed in Ronald and Val. We thank you for the spirit you have given them, O God, your precious Holy Spirit. Continue to manifest your presence in their lives all the more, O God. Bless them. Bless the fruit of their lips, Lord. Bless, Lord God, the works of their hands. We, as a ministry, pray your hedge of protection over their lives right now, over the lives of their loved ones, O God. We thank you. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, O Lord. Continue, Lord, your increase of your work in their lives. We know, Lord God, that this is just the beginning of your glory. From glory to glory to glory to glory and beyond in Christ Jesus. Take them, Lord. Lead them and guide them in all truth. Amen.
And our Father, we say thank you that you still call your children to ministry.
Yes.
Thank you for the privilege of seeing this young man for the last 30 years. Growing up from this excitable little boy that was always such a hard worker, to a young man who fell in love with you and that love continued to grow. To the calling this night to Pastor Ron, and I pray that first of all, that of the congregation of Sykes, that they would see him as a marvelous pastor. That Valerie would be able to look at him and say, this is my pastor. He shepherds this congregation so very well. That his activity for the broader body of Christ would never cause his family to be jealous of his time, of his energy, of his attention, his focus, his love. But they will come alongside of him. They would support him. They would lift him up and build him up. And as Ron would get to minister to hundreds and hundreds, oh God, that his children would minister to thousands upon thousands. That what you have instilled in Ron and Valerie, as they instill it in their children, that they would get excited about it at an early age. Then as they would be in church buildings and would be surrounded, that the anointing would fall on them also. That in their neighborhood, the Sykes home will be the home of those people that we can go to. That we can find hope and refuge there. That we could find wisdom and knowledge there. That we can find Jesus there. Brighten their light. Brighten, Lord, and extend their influence, that the kingdom of God would be so richly blessed in the places where you put them for your glory. And again, we say thank you in Jesus' name.
The Lord's given me two scriptures for you. The first is from Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 36. It says, be on your guard, see to it that your minds are never clouded with dissipation or drunkenness or the worries of life, or else that day may catch you like the spring of a trap. You must be vigilant at all times, praying that you may be strong enough to come safely through all that is going to happen and stand in the presence of the Son of Man. The second scripture is Proverbs chapter 4. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your focus on what is in front of you. Take care you don't stray from the straight path. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil.
It's interesting, Ron, that your name means Mighty Counselor.
and mighty is more than above average, but it is operating in the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also means ruler. And you're coming to a point in even greater measure that you will understand the rulership of who Jesus is to you. His direct rulership over you, over your spirit, over your life of what needs to be done. And Valerie, your name means brave. And it's no coincidence that God has given you a brave woman. Because when you choose to live by faith, it takes a brave woman. It takes one that God knows He placed with you to weather that storm, to live by faith, to trust in faith that He's placed within you to say, I know, God, that you have every area covered. And even now He's bringing you into a greater realm of understanding of that in His goodness. He's not only given you, I'm reminded of when Jesus was away from His parents for 3 days, and when they found Him, He said, I must be about my Father's business. And that has been the banner over you, Ron, that you must be about God's business. Whatever area, it's God that was always centered in it. He says, too, that you are a couple that have above maturity, even as youngsters, that you are a couple that He can trust you. He trusts you with your life. He trusts you with the word. He trusts you with your understanding. He trusts you with the abilities and giftings that He's given you. And even now He says you're not just bringing something cultural, but you are bringing a spiritual culture of music that transcends all and incorporates everything with the flavor that He's placed in you. It's not coming to change things. It's coming to add the fullness of who God is in you and how it's been expressed and how you have learned and done so many things for so long. That this is a beginning part of a fruition of where He's placed you now. That it's not the end, but it is the beginning. Because there are things He's placed you here to learn. And you both understand how to soak. You understand how to soak the presence of God. You understand how to soak the word of God. You understand how to soak one another in the passions that you have that you share. And within that soaking, God says, I'm just going to wring you out again of all the goodness that I placed in you to go and to be a shower over the people that you work with. And this is a time of well done, Ron. Well done. You've always wanted to please the heart of God. You've always wanted to please the heart of your family. You've always wanted to please the community around you. And most of all, you've always wanted to please your lovely Val. You have loved her tremendously. And God says there is dunamis power coming from both of you that will light up this region, that you are one to be trusted as a man at the gates of the city, that there is respect to you, that there is authority to you, that there is conquering within you over the enemy who wants to keep quiet what God wants to do and magnify through you. So Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that as the lion that roars, you've placed that in both their hearts, Lord. You've given them an understanding and a seriousness and a maturity that says, I am the man and woman of God that He has chosen for this season, for this reason, and for this time in my life to move forward and advance the kingdom. There will be some that may not want to go, but God says, don't worry. That works itself out in due time. You just be obedient and move how He tells you to move and move in the strength of His power because, one, you're relying on Him anyway. So, Lord, we thank you for their trust in you. We thank you that they are trustable people. And we just bless them, Lord God, as they honor you with their lives from this point, even before, but even now in a greater measure. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
As Prophet Julio was speaking over you, I saw the mantles come back over your shoulders. And when you were walking in right standing with the Lord and one another, He has assigned huge angels to war on your behalf. You're not going into this higher level of warfare alone, but He's stationed them for such a time as this. They were appointed for you from when He created them. And when the mantle came down on you, they came to attention. When you go to war, rest in the Lord and let his angels go before you.
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in Ronald's life, Father God. Lord, we thank you for those first glances years and years ago, Father God, as he looked up at us, Lord, and you could tell that brightness in his eyes was something special. And Father God, through the years, you've nurtured him, you've protected him, you've taught him, you've loved him. We just thank you, Father God, for the fullness. The fullness you've brought to his family. The fullness that you've brought in his heart. And now, Father God, you impart these gifts to him, Father. These are gifts, Father God, that will be used well. These are gifts, Father God, that you have entrusted to him. These are gifts, Father God, that he's worthy of. And Father, as we stand around him, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, that we can see your hand at work. We thank you, Father God Almighty, that we'll be able to work side by side with him in a different way, Father. We've worked with him before. Well, he's worked with us. And now we shall work with him, Father God.
Thank you, God.
In a mighty, mighty way. You are God Almighty. All might is in your hands. And we thank you, Father God, for all that you've imparted to this young man and his lovely wife. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that he walk in your strength, in your wisdom, from this day forward, each and every day of his life. May he fulfill every portion of the plan that you have established for his life and ministry. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for my brother. I just thank you for him, O Lord. I thank you, O God, that he is taken, O God, by your presence. And I stand here, O Lord, as his brother, not one with fivefold ministry, O Lord, but as a worshiper. As one who has worshipped in the secret, O Lord, with Ronald. Father, those things, O Lord, that he has desired and imagined, O God, to see. Those things you have placed in his heart, O Lord, to see in the Spirit. And during worship services, O Lord. And during intercession, I pray now that they would manifest, O Lord. Not because of his might or strength, O Lord, but because your presence is so evident and powerful that the physical manifestation of your presence, O Lord, would cause people to leap and to see where they couldn't see and to hear when they couldn't hear, O Lord, and to be filled with your frightening and holy and lovely and beautiful presence. And I pray, O Lord, that you give him and Valerie more And his children, more moments where they absolutely must stop worshiping because of your presence, O God. And may all see, and may all hear. And Father, we are priests before you, and we need thy presence, O God. And you have called them and branded them, O God, and marked them as those who can come before you and minister to you. May your presence come, O Lord. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. O God, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for the pastor, O God. We thank you for all these that's gathered here on tonight. And Lord, as we stand praying now, you said many are called, but few are chosen. And you've chosen Ron and Valerie, Lord. Oh God, to go forth into the vineyard, seeking those that's lost, oh God. And we know, God, that your power will be with them. Bless them as they walk in the spirit and not the flesh. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them as they go forth, not only here, but everywhere you send them. Oh God, praying for those that are sick, walking in the spirit, winning souls to Christ. Bless them abundantly, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you gave them good examples to follow. And Lord, we thank you for those examples right now. Bless in a mighty way their entire family. Oh God, oh God, give them strength and courage as they go forth in this wicked world. We're in the last days, and we thank you for the calling upon their lives. Bless them, Lord, to be examples as they go forth with power. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you now, Lord. Bless their ministry. Bless their family. Oh, God, right now. Right now, let your glory be revealed through their ministry. And we pray now, God, for everyone that's standing here, that we continually be lights to them, Lord. Oh God, and encourage them as they go forth in the vineyard. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And keep them covered with your blood, oh God, and let them use these ministries in the name of Jesus. Oh God, give them power to bind the devil, oh God, and cast him out in the name of Jesus. And we thank you now. We thank you now. Bless everyone here under the sound of my voice. Oh God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Amen. Amen.
Hello. As Apostle Al was sharing with you guys earlier, it was really, I leaned over to my wife and said, what he's sharing is the verse the Lord just gave me to share with you guys when he was talking about a threefold cord. So here's the verse, and I'll explain to you what it means. It says, I'm sure it's a verse you're very familiar with, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will not run, and they will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. That word, they that wait on the Lord, as a student, as a teacher, it has to do, it literally means a cord that attaches us to God through our expectations. And so as we wait, you came into this night with certain expectations. And the Lord says, as you wait on him, you'll see the manifestation of those expectations. But then at Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, for good and not for evil, to bring you to your expected end. That word expected is the same word. They all mean, as we wait on God, we are attaching our expectations to him and allowing his expectations to become ours. And not just be looking for our own expectations out of ministry or whatever we think it might be, but allow God to impart to you his expectations and run with that. And in that, you won't get weary. And the last verse the Lord told me to share with you is from Psalm 62:5. It says, my expectation is from the Lord. And I share that with you because in ministry you will find that when you begin to have expectations of people, you will be disappointed. People will let you down and people will disappoint you. But God will never let you down and God will never disappoint you. God will always be there for you. And as you allow His expectations to become your expectations, you will see that your level of expectations will rise and rise and rise. You came into this night with a certain level of expectation, but God's raising your expectations even now to a higher level and to a higher place. For the things that you think, the things that you expect, God's got greater for you.
From one worshiper to another, I hear the Lord saying since we began that the joy of the Lord shall be your strength, and that strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. The strength that you need to do what He's called you to do will continue to rise as you wait upon Him. And I hear the Lord saying over and over, let laughter, let His joy and worship be your weapon of choice. That's all I have.
We are all given our earthly parents and our Heavenly Father. But Ronavell, you've allowed us to be spiritual parents. Is that correct? So I would like to introduce to you your spiritual grandparents, because they mentored us when we first came to the Lord. They have been an instrumental part of us being who we are. So you know that as much as you loved us, I wanted you to introduce to you Pastor Emilio and Lucy Sebastian, who are related to you. All right?
I told first you, time I know. I told you you'd meet them someday.
This afternoon, as I was praying for both of you tonight, the Lord let me hear something in heaven. And it was your voice, Ron, saying, God, take me deeper. God, I want more. Take me deeper. Take me deeper. Take me deeper. And I kept hearing that, you crying out. And I hit a picture of you right on your face, just crying out before God, take me deeper. And the Lord wants you to know He's heard that prayer. And He's answering that prayer. And tonight there's coming upon you a new anointing. You've had an anointing and it's been good. He's bringing a new anointing. It's going to be better. It's better. And the Lord wants you to know that as a fivefold ministry teacher, He's expanding your borders. And He's going to take you places that you never even dreamed you would go. And He's going to put a word of authority in your mouth that you've not had before. Those things that you said, God, I wish, I want, I hope. Yes, the Lord is saying yes. And He's taking you to a deep well. And He's going to show you the hidden manna. In Isaiah, there talks about a scripture, treasures of darkness. And even the dark places, even those dark places, I think that you've experienced recently, there's treasures there. There's treasures and teachings and things that you're going to get a hold of that are going to be life to people in darkness. Because you will have that experience yourself. And the Lord's going to put the words of life in your mouth. And I see those sitting under your teaching, even as they hear you, they're going to be healed and delivered. And those who worship with you are going to be healed and delivered. And even those that you serve, change a tire, fix a light switch, the presence and the anointing that God is pouring out upon you tonight will cause your fruitfulness to expand to dimensions you can't even imagine. the Lord has heard your cry. And he's saying, yes, 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 you can have it all.
When Mama Peace was prophesying over you, I saw a picture of the both of you, and you weren't just leading a church, but you were advancing the kingdom. And I saw you walking forward. It was part of a great army, but you two were on the front line. You were both there. Woman of God, you are not being left behind. You are not being ignored. God sees you, and daughter, he is very well pleased. And I literally heard and felt the rumble. And I asked the Lord what that was, and he said it was the things that are holding us back being broken away as you two are part of the army that advances the kingdom of God. And you were not shaken. Your roots are so deep that that which comes against the kingdom does not shake you and does not move you. But you stand. And you have not only sought the word and sought the face of God Almighty to the point where you hear the smallest whisper, but you have been given the ability, even exponentially, to teach those around you how to hear the voice of God. And you can hear and say, go this way. And you can hear and say, go that way. And you can hear and say, move forward. And you can hear and say, stand still and stand. Because this ground is ours. This ground is God's. You're on the front lines. But God Almighty overshadows you. He stands behind you and he goes before you. And he is so well pleased.
In the words of expectation and waiting on the Lord, I felt it's very important for you to continue to look up. Continue to look up, because God isn't done with raising you up to new levels. He's not done in raising you up to new levels. So there's expectations. There's, even as your conductor's wand is being used to conduct in your ministry, look up to the conductor. To see the beat that he's setting, to see the movements of his hand, the movements of his eyes. Because in doing so, you will avoid the pitfalls. You'll avoid the traps and snares of the enemy. You'll avoid the things that people even have plotted against you. So continue to look up. Keep your eyes focused, no matter what's going on at this level, on the Lord Jesus.
Ron, I heard a phrase over you too. And it's, when the enemy comes at you, God is positioned, you say, I don't believe that. And I have this thing about names, Ron, nor will I accept it. And that comes with a lot of things that you're going to be faced with, not just with you, but with other people, that some people accept things, but you're one, no, nor will I accept that. And it gives you a different battle plan. It gives you a different strategic outlay of how you handle these situations. So I don't believe that, nor will I accept it.
Ron, you love ministry, and I've known that for a while. And as one who has loved ministry sometimes too much, I'm talking about myself, I'll give you the same counsel that was given to me 34 years ago as I sat as a missionary candidate, when I was told, this ministry is not yours. The God of the ministry is yours, but the ministry isn't yours. And never hold on to ministry so tight that you're not willing to let it go when God says let it go. Because I heard earlier that this is at least one of three times. And if you hold on to this too tight, you'll miss the second one. So hold on to God. Let him have, you have his voice in your ear. And when he says go, go. You may shed tears. You may have to be pulled away. But go when God says go. And at that same place where I heard this, for your family, the director of our camping ministry said, never use your family as an excuse to neglect ministry, but never let ministry be used for an excuse to neglect your family. Because people are watching. You show them what a godly ministry family is. And watch them, many of them, desire to walk in those ways because you've done it right.
As everyone was talking, I thought about a scripture, and it just kept ringing. And it's found in Ephesians 3 and 20. And it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. That faith power, that love power. Somebody said that joy. There's power in all of the fruits of the Spirit. Let them work in you, and God will prove himself to you.
I promised Ron that I wouldn't take a ram's horn filled with oil and pour it all over him, although I would like to. But one of my favorite anointing oils is pomegranate oil, because it's for abundance and health to multiply and prosper. And that's what the Lord is doing in both of your lives tonight. He's bringing you to the next level of abundance and prosperity in his kingdom. It doesn't look like what the world would have it to look like. This is the last gift before the meal. Lord, with the laying on of our hands, we affirm and confirm the gifts that you have placed in Ron and in Valerie. And we send Ron as a pastor teacher to fulfill his call and destiny, that Ron and Valerie would be the mighty men and women of God that you have equipped and trained them to be, that from this day forward, Lord, they will go with the hosts of heaven in ways that they have not known the presence of the hosts of heaven before. We send them into the places where you have called them to fulfill your call and destiny, both in their home, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and even to the nations of the earth. Lord, we say, let the angels that you've sent to guide and direct and protect them also open up to them the portal of heaven so that they can hear the sound in your throne room and release it as a new song in the earth. Lord, we say, let there be even more celebration in earth than there is in heaven. We send them now, commissioned as a pastor teacher, to lead and to tend to those that you entrust to them, in Jesus' name. You two can stand up. You can share this with those who want to see it. But it says, after full and sufficient opportunity for judging his gifts and satisfactory examination by us in regard to his Christian experience and call, we, the undersigned, hereby certify and recommend publicly and set apart by the laying on of our hands, commission Ronald Nathaniel Sykes II to the work of the ministry and to the body of Christ as a worship pastor teacher this 10th day of December by this commissioning council in Rochester, New York. I love you, brother. And all the saints said,
Amen.
Now, there is an abundance of food next door, and I don't want to have to take it home. So please stay, fellowship, savor the moment with Ron and Valerie. There's cake, there's sandwiches, there's all kinds of food next door. Thank you for coming out. May the Lord show himself powerful on your behalf, sending you from now to every appointment that he has for you in Jesus' name.